John chapter 6, beginning in verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I have said unto you that ye also have seen me, and you believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on that last day. And then switch over to John chapter 7. In verse 16, Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine, but it is his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And then go down to verse 28 and 29. Jesus said, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father God, we again thank you again for letting us have this opportunity to worship you. Father, we've sang those wonderful songs. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. Father, we go to the garden to be close to you. Father, we know that one day in eternity we will sing praises to your name because you sent Jesus. For all of those who would believe, it's the cause of our salvation and eternal life. And for that, Father, we thank you. I pray, Lord, as we preach this sermon that we would understand and know what it means to know and do your will. Father, speak to us. May we know you in a deep, personal way. More than ever before, as we just sang, we're climbing higher ground. Father, may that be the desire of all of our hearts, to know you more and more, to know you deeper and deeper. Father, may that be our cause, and may that be our effect, and maybe that would be what we're all about. In Jesus we pray, amen. If I were to ask you a question this morning, have you ever wanted to know God and do his will? Now, that seems like a very silly question to ask a group of Christians who are in church on a Sunday morning, because the standard answer that every one of you would give if I would ask you that in an individual personal level would be, yes, I want to know God and I want to do his will. Of course, all of us probably would want to know God and to do his will. I have spent every Sunday of this year preaching on the topic of obedience. And I'm quite certain that all of you would want to be obedient to God, your Father, and to Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior. All of us, I believe, are striving to keep his laws and his statutes and his commandments. During this time this year, we have learned from the Bible that obedience brings blessings, but that disobedience brings suffering. No one in their right mind would choose sufferings over blessings, especially when they come from God. So what is this talk this morning, preacher, about knowing and doing God's will? Aren't we already doing that? Again, I don't want to be the guy who is preaching to the choir. I appreciate all of you being here this morning. I appreciate all of you loving and supporting me as your pastor, and we appreciate you loving and supporting Miss Jean and your love and support and serving in this church. But knowing and doing the will of God really has nothing to do with any of that. You and I could be serving and doing all kinds of things for God, but yet at the same time really not know him and not be doing his will if we're not careful. So let me ask again that same question. Have you ever wanted to know and do God's will? If you are a born-again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, you have not only been forgiven of your sins, you have been guaranteed eternal life, but you also have joined with the Lord in doing His mission. And that mission is this: reconciling a lost world to the Lord. For Jesus told His followers in Matthew 28, after His resurrection and just before He was to ascend back to the Father, Jesus said this: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or make disciples. "Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And remember this: lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What that verse is telling me is this: by my association with the Savior, by your association with the Savior, God Himself has caused a desire to be in our heart as faithful servants, the desire to serve in His church and to accomplish that mission, which is making disciples. Amen? It's not all about doing church work. It's making disciples. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say there in Matthew 28, "Hey, go have some lunches, go have some activities, do VBS, do this, do that." It's not all about doing. It's all about making disciples. Now, in our day and age, we use all of those activities, hopefully with the mindset of we are molding and shaping Christians. We are making disciples. And we use all those activities to accomplish that purpose. But let's never forget the purpose of our church and the purpose of what we do here is to make disciples. Amen? And as such, God has far more in store for each of us than just doing something for Him. He wants us to experience that intimate love relationship with Him. He wants you to know Him in a real and a personal way. I appreciate people coming by all the time. "Hey, Pastor, is there anything I can do around the church?" There's always something to do, let me tell you. Okay, you don't have to look very far, and you don't have to have an invitation to do something. If you have time off, just whatever, you want to spend an hour, just come on by the church. We'll find something for you to do. But I want you to understand this: just doing, just for the sake of doing, is not what we're trying to accomplish here. Hopefully by you doing something in the church, you are telling the Lord, "Hey, I am your disciple, and I want to grow, I want to honor you, I even want to worship you when I sweep the parking lot." Why is that so important? Because when people drive by here, I think they need to see we take care of the building here. And that might be someone say, "Hey, they take care of that building. They must really honor and respect and worship the Lord." And so when we're doing all of that, we should be doing it in this sense of, I'm a disciple of Christ, and I want to do something to make other disciples. We just celebrated this past week Valentine's Day, a day we set aside to remember and honor our loved ones or that special person in your life. My wife took me out to eat Monday night. All of a sudden, she goes, "Hey, I want to take you out, and we'll go eat something." Wow, that's pretty cool. I'll take you up on that. We had a wonderful day on Tuesday. We had already decided we're not going to buy any big gifts this year, but, you know, I had to buy some flowers, you know, and her favorite candy bar. And she says, "We weren't going to do that." I said, "Well, you took me out yesterday. I got to give you some flowers." We took some time to be together on Thursday in Chicago, just walking around, just us two, just talking and seeing where we're at in life. But you see, the love we exchanged with each other was not found in those things that we did. It was found in that intimate, deep relationship that we had time with one another. And just doing some things for each other and not sharing our love for one another may not be it. How would it have gone if I would have said, "Hey, by the way, here's your flowers. It's Valentine's Day. I knew I had to do this, so here you go." That wouldn't have gone as far as, "Hey, I want to honor you today. Today's Valentine's Day. You're my Valentine." You see, my wife didn't want me just to do something for her. She wanted to know that my love for her was real. Perhaps in the way that I spoke to her, or treated her, or connected with her that day. And that's the same way our relationship with the Lord should be. It shouldn't be, "Well, you know what, Lord, I mowed the lawn here, and I did this, and I, after all, I taught a class, and therefore I did my obligation." No, He wants us to do that because we are doing what He has called us to do. and I challenge people all the time, hey, it's one thing to do something for the Lord, but what God is calling you to do, you need to just sit down with the Lord and kneel and pray and say, God, what do you want me to do in service to you? That's a far different cry, and here's why people won't do that. A lot of times we're afraid to do that. Because, see, we can do certain things, hey, no sweat, no problem. But see, when we ask God, hey, what do you want me to do, God? Then we have to expect an answer and be willing to act on that. Amen? Jesus wants that from us, though. The Bible says that we, the church, believers, are the bride of Christ. And he is the groom. He expects certain things from his bride. We have this direct relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are bound together. He loves us, and we are to love him. And Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, God, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's the heart of our salvation. It's the heart of our eternal life. It is for us to know God and to know Jesus, whom God sent. I want to know the Creator, but because of my sins, I can't get to the Creator. But Jesus came and said, hey, I'm going to shed my blood, and if you'll believe on me, you can get to the Father through me. Knowing God doesn't come through a program. It doesn't come just by showing up in church once a week. It doesn't come by a study or a method. Can I remind you of this? You know, most people are unbelievers, but they'll say they're believers because of this one phrase. I believe in God. 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 Can I remind you, Satan and the demons say the same thing. They believe in God. And so if Satan and the demons believe in God, we would have to admit they're not in heaven, right? No. Well, if they believe in God and they're not in heaven, why would we think that we can just say, I believe in God, and think that we can have heaven? How are we would be any different than those Satan and his demons? We're different through the blood of Jesus. We need to know God through a relationship with a person, capital P person, and that person is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen? Knowing Jesus, that's how we have this intimate love relationship with God Almighty. It is through that kind of relationship that God then reveals himself to us. He'll reveal his purposes and his ways to us, and he invites us to join him where he is already at work. Amen? You see, when we obey God, we live our life in obedience to him. And when we do that, God accomplishes through us something that only he can do. Knowing God in that intimate, intimate way, experiencing him, who is at work in us and through us, doing those things that he has called us to do, centered around everything of making and developing disciples. As your pastor, I want to help each one of you to move into that kind of relationship with God. I want you to get off that platform and just say, more than just say, I believe in God, I want you to say, I know God. How do you know him? I know him through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And then I want you to, hey, did you know this, Pastor? This was in the Bible. I didn't know that. That's how you get to know God, and he reveals himself. As your pastor, I want you to have that kind of relationship where you can truly experience your life with Christ while you're here on earth, and then be able to have eternal life to its fullest degree possible. Jesus even told us in John 10:10, he says, I am come so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, can I just caution you? That does not mean you're going to have 5 cars in your driveway. That does not mean you're going to have the biggest house on the block. But it just means I come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You can have this life and experience this abundant life by knowing who God is, the creator of all the universe. God is not some God that's way out there, we can't get to him. Jesus says, if you know me, I will get you to the Father. That's having that life abundantly. Amen? And so how then do I know God and do his will? 3 things. First of all, being saved. And having a relationship with Jesus is a prerequisite. The most important decision a person can make in their life revolves around Christ. Basic question is this: do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Notice I didn't say, do you know about Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? In John chapter 3, we find an episode of a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was very learned, highly educated. He was a man of the Jewish faith. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. The Sanhedrin Council was a group of 70, perhaps 72 elders and teachers of the nation. They were the cream of the crop, and Nicodemus was one of them. He was a high-ranking leader in the temple. Interesting enough, by law, the Sanhedrin Council members could not meet at nighttime. But here in John chapter 3, the Bible tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. After hearing Jesus' teaching, Nicodemus was having trouble understanding how to have this eternal life that Jesus was talking about. The Bible says Jesus, knowing all things, knew that Nicodemus was searching for the truth. Jesus knew that Nicodemus was searching for the meaning of life and death and eternity. Maybe you're here this morning and you're searching like Nicodemus. Maybe you're searching for the truth. Pastor, what is the truth? I watch the news every day and everybody lies. What's the truth? Pastor, what is the meaning of life? Or maybe you're wanting to know about eternity. Jesus gives Nicodemus an answer that is so simple to understand. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, Nicodemus, you must be born again." You want the answer to a life and death and eternity? Here it is in four or five simple words: you must be born again. Folks, in order to really know God and to do His will, you have to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to be saved. You must be born again. You must have said yes to Christ and no to Satan. And if you have not made that most important decision in your life, listen to me, the rest of my sermon and the teaching on this subject matter will have very little meaning for you. You can see, the Bible says spiritual matters can only be understood by those who have an indwelling of the Spirit of God in them. And that's why Nicodemus was having a hard time understanding salvation and eternal life. He knew the law. He knew religion. He knew the ways of the temple. But he did not know Christ. He did not have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit in his heart, for that only occurs with those who have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Only those who have truly been born again and are saved will have that Holy Spirit in their life, and it's that Holy Spirit that guides us and teaches us all about the things of God. Here's what Jesus said in John 14. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you." It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us the teachings of Christ. Paul even wrote in 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth. He said, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." A prerequisite to knowing God and doing His will is very simply being saved. How can you do that this morning? You just basically say, "Lord, I need to be saved." And you ask God to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, to forgive you and to cleanse you and to take up residence in your life. And you say, "I am going to commit my life to living for Christ." And the Bible says when you do that by simple faith, God forgives you of your sins. The Holy Spirit comes in and resides with you. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You're guaranteed eternal life in heaven with Him. But more important than that, almost, is while you're here on earth, you get to walk in newness of life with your Savior and have a relationship with God Almighty. Amen? Secondly, in order to know God and do His will, you have to be in His Word. Folks, we live in a society where we want things instantly. I'm amazed at some of the television commercials where they advertise, learn to play the piano or guitar, tune your car engine. Three easy lessons. Brother David, did you learn to play guitar in three lessons? Can't happen. But that's why we say, well, give me all this information, Pastor. I want to know God and I want to do His will, but tell me in three easy lessons. I can't do that for you. No book you may buy or read can do that. For you see, these are things that only God can do. And so I invite you to interact with God, and we do that by reading His Word. But don't read the Bible like any other book. Read it as if God is sitting right next to you, revealing Himself to you. Because that is exactly what He's doing. We've been reading the book of Job this month. I hope you've been reading it. Fascinating, fascinating book. Job lost everything and he was questioning, what is going on here? This relationship, and God revealed Himself to Job. You got to be in the Word so that God can reveal Himself to you. But remember this, you will not get anything out of the spiritualness of the Bible if you're not saved and allowing the Holy Spirit within you to teach you those things. Amen. God wants so much to reveal Himself to you. He wants so much for you to apply His teachings and His principles to your life. He wants you to use them on your job or at school, in your home or at church. But in order to interact with God, you must take the time to do that. So here we had Nicodemus taking the time to go to Jesus. He took the time to find out the most important aspects of life. He took the time to go to the Word, who is Jesus, to get all those right answers. In John chapter 1, as we were reading in chapter 6 and 7, in chapter 1, it starts off with these words, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him not anything was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was in the light of men." Jesus Christ is that Word that we need to be in. Take time, folks. You got to take time to read God's Word. You got to just be in it. I can't emphasize that enough. I can't encourage you enough. Be in it. And here's the easiest way to do this. Just figure out your plan. It may be 12 verses a day. Then just do that. It might be 3 minutes. Just do that. It might be a whole chapter. Just do that, because here's what will happen. If you just stick to your game plan, God's Holy Spirit will cause you to say, I need a little bit more. It's pretty good. So whatever your game plan is, just do it and stick with it each and every day. Be in His Word. Why? Because those words of the Lord will guide you and strengthen you and reveal to you all the desires that God has for you. Let me give you a spiritual truth that will blow your mind. We learned this in Bible college, and I had to pay a lot of money for this, but I'm going to give it to you for free. If you are saved and if you are a believer, listen to this, the Holy Spirit of God is at work in you. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, amen. You're understanding that if you are saved, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit of God is at work in you. Notice I said not just sitting there dormant. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Now, you may not realize that. Sometimes you may not see it. You may not feel it. But the Holy Spirit of God is there working. And He will confirm in your own heart the truth of the Scripture. You don't have to have me do that. You don't have to have your mother do that or your father do that. You don't have to have your Sunday school teacher do that. You don't have to have some TV preacher do that. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that's in your heart, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, will reveal God to you through the Holy Scriptures. And so when you're reading God's Word, discussing it in your mind and your heart, those spiritual matters. Just depend on the Holy Spirit to teach you what's coming from it. Amen? Before I read the scripture, I say, Holy Spirit, just help me glean from this. Help me to understand what you want me to understand today. Folks, that your intimate relationship with God comes through Bible reading and prayer and worship in church. All of that is how God will use in order to tell you, here's what you need to know about me so that you can do my will. Then thirdly, we need to, in order to know God and do his will, we need to be connected to the right source, and that's God himself. We can't discount God. We can't neglect God. You can't put God on a shelf and only call him when you need him. We need to make sure that we are connected to the source all the time. The Bible is God's word for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, all of the Bible is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. We need God's word to help us in our daily walk. Amen? And if we need it that much, then we need to be reading it so we can know how to use it. The Holy Spirit then honors and uses God's word as he speaks to us. For you see, the Bible is our source of authority for our faith and for our practice. For without the Bible, you will never know God and you will never be able to do his perfect will in your life. Why is that? Because we can't depend on human traditions. We can't depend on our experiences or the experiences of others. We can't even depend on preachers or churches. We need to depend upon God and God alone and depend upon his word, for he is the right source to be connected to. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys are getting this, man. This is God's here. He is revealing himself to us even as we preach. Amen. Anything significant that happens in our lives, our result of God's activity in our life. You know, God is more interested in our life than maybe you and I could possibly be. Why is that? Because God created us. And if we're a child of God, we're his child. If we know his son, Christ, that makes us even more significant to God. He's interested in what we're doing, and so we need to let the Spirit of God bring us into this intimate relationship with God, the God of the universe. Why? Because in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power is that Holy Spirit working in our lives. Let God be the right source that will bring you into knowing him and doing his will. Folks, I believe we're on the verge of something great happening here at Grace Baptist Church. I really do. And I believe that each one of you are going to have a part in getting that accomplished. I want you to sit there and think about that for a moment. We're on the verge of something great happening. Say this with me. Say it with me. Something spiritually great is going to happen here, and I am going to be a part of it. Let's say that again. Something spiritually great is going to happen here, and I am going to be a part of it. One more time. Something spiritually great is going to happen here, and I am going to be a part of it. Amen. Amen. God has already begun a good work in you. And he's going to complete it in you in his timing. Amen? But here was the catch. We have to make it our desire to know God. If you're not saved here this morning, you have to start with your personal salvation. Oh, you can know that there's a God, but you won't know God. Satan and the demons know there's a God, but you want to be different than that. In order to know God, you got to be saved. You got to be like Nicodemus and say, I'm going to go right to the source. Jesus, I'm having trouble with this eternal life you're preaching about. Jesus, I'm having trouble with life and death and eternity and all of it. Give me the answers. Jesus said, you must be born again. Except you be born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. Except to be born again, you will not see the Heavenly Father. Make sure you're saved today. What's holding you back? You'll never know God until you know Him with your heart and a personal salvation experience. And then once you know Christ as your Savior, you and I need to make it our desire to do His will. Not your will, not my will, not just what the church may need, but do God's will. It is a will that is only revealed through His Word. And then we need to make it our desire to read and study the Bible. We can't get past step one if we're not willing to hear from God. That's how relationships work. Okay? You may have dated different people, but you had that one that you connected with. And why was that? Because you learned who that was, and she learned who you was, and you just kind of had this relationship developed. You knew that person. I know my wife in that deep, intimate way more than you do. And that's good. But that's how God wants us to know Him, in that deep, intimate, personal way. And we know Him through Christ and reading His Word. We got to be in the Word. Try to finish the book of Job this month. You still have time. It's an easy read. But just stick to a game plan. In the next several weeks, I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons about knowing God and doing His will in the more intimate, deeper way. I hope you're wanting to do that. I want us to grow. It's more than just, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's good. No, we need to know who God is. Because Jesus says, make disciples. Carry on the work. Make disciples. How am I going to do that? God will reveal that to you. And every single thing that we do here is going to be centered around making disciples. But it starts with each person's salvation. Make sure you're saved today. And then progress by being in His Word and being connected to that right source so that you can know God and be able to do His will. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly